Would you kindly turn your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Numbers, and we'll read first of all in chapter 27. Chapter 27 for our first reading. We want to read one or two verses concerning the man called Joshua this evening. Last night we looked and did a character study on the man called Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest. And we saw some delightful things that marked that great man of old. And tonight we want to look at this young man, Joshua, and see, of course, what God says about him in his word, in the various scriptures that will come to our hand tonight, as God would lead us along this path. Joshua chapter 27 then, Numbers chapter 27 and verse number 18. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. I'd like to turn back now, please, to the book of Exodus, and in chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, and we'll read together there at verse number 8. Exodus 17 and verse number 8. Then came Amalek and fought with the children in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up the hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, Because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Chapter 32, please, of the book of Exodus. Chapter 32, and we'll read at verse number 10 for connection, or verse 9. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh to his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Chapter 30. 3, please, again, and then verse, Numbers chapter 11, please, sorry. Numbers chapter 11. The book of Numbers chapter 11. And verse number 26, but there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses, and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. And a final reading, please, in chapter 27 again. And verse 18, And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit. Looking at this man Joshua, we must remember as he comes to the page of God's holy book in Numbers chapter 27, he comes upon it at a most interesting time. Now there are seats down at the front here so that none need stand at the back of the hall. There's loads of seats down here. Just feel free and come right on down. In Numbers 27, the man of God called Moses is on the way out, and God is about to bury him on that mountain top. And of course, the concern of Moses is for a man that he might be raised up, so that the people of God might not be a sheep without a shepherd. And of course, in this particular section, you have a prayer of appeal, as Moses, the man of God, appeals, set a man over the congregation, which may go out and in before them, which may lead them out and in, that the congregation of the Lord be not a sheep without a shepherd. It is interesting that this great man, as he is about to be buried by God upon the mountain, has a heart for the people of God, and an interest to see that a leader will be established to lead the people of God into the land of promise, that Moses, because he spake unadvisedly with his lips, was refused to do. And then, of course, not only do you have a prayer of appeal, but you have a pattern of approval. For you remember here that it's not any kind of man that will lead God's people. And the man who will lead God's people will need to be a man qualified to do so. And these verses that we have read together will show us something of the features that marked a young man in preparation for a day that would come his way, in preparation for a time when Moses, the leader, would die, and he would be left to bear the responsibility of a succeeding office of leadership, and the great responsibility of leading the people of God across Jordan and into the land of promise. So there's a pattern of approval in these verses as well. For the kind of man that is going to be chosen is a man that goes in and out before the people. You see, the elders in Thessalonians, they were of course men worthy of double honor. But of course they were men who were from among them. Ismaiah the Gibeonite in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, of him it is recorded, he was among 30 and over 30, teaching us a very simple principle, that the man who will lead God's people and be brought to the position of leadership will first be among the people before he will ever arrive over the people. That is the purpose of God, dear young folks in the meeting, that you might live your little life among the people of God and move in the fellowship of God, God's people, and take responsibility and learn to live with the elders of the present dispensation, of the present time, with a view to the fact that you one day will be where they are now, taking leadership and bearing responsibility among the people of God. And I thought perhaps we could learn something from this man's prayer, a prayer of appeal from an older man like Moses about to go out. And could I just ask the elder brethren today, are you praying as you are cognizant and aware that you're nearing the end of your journey and you're not so well as you used to be and the years have rolled over your head and you've borne the witness and leadership of God's people well, but you know that the day is not so far away when you need to lay this position down? Are you praying for younger men? Are you raising young men before the Lord to take over this kind of responsibility in the great work of leadership among God's people? Well, Moses was a man like that, and he makes a prayer of appeal, and then he outlines a pattern of approval, and then, of course, we read of a person appointed. And that person that is appointed is the person of the man called Joshua. And we might ask ourselves the question, why Joshua? Why not a man like Caleb? Why not other men that were moving in the camp in these particular times? But Joshua, God had his eye upon this young man, for the history of this young man's life was but a pleasure to the heart of his great God. And it's interesting to notice that God does record the history of our lives, and God takes note of our movements, and note of our involvements, and notes our exercise, and notes our sincerity, and notes our hypocrisy. God is the God with the all-seeing eye, and don't ever forget that the Lord Jesus Christ is still moving amidst the lampstands and the testimonies of God's people. And he's moving with observation, and he sees and knows the involvements that you have or do not have among the people of God. But as he noted this man Joshua, we can trace back in the record of God's word the kind of man that this young man was. And I thought that from him tonight, you and I could learn lessons so that we too might be approved by God and might rise to take responsibility for God in a day when older men pass on. He said to Joshua, Moses, my servant is dead. Rise. And of course, Joshua was already prepared for this event, and we'll see this as we look back in the pages we have read together in these passages that outline to us something of the faithfulness of this young man. He comes upon the page of God's holy book at a very critical time. It is almost a day of crisis, like the days in which Phinehas appeared upon the page of God's book. But he certainly is the man of crisis in that war that wages in the valley of Rephidim, there yonder, as you read in Exodus chapter 17. And he's going to show us here that he's a young man with power over Amalek. He's a young man for whom the saints have prayed. And it's interesting to notice here the very easy on the surface principle to be noted in that passage is this, that when the praying people cease to pray, the fighting people make little progress. The battle is raging in the valley of Rephidim. and Moses and Aaron and Hur are on the top of the mountain, and they're witnessing the battle. And the hands of Moses are stayed up, and as long as the hands of the intercessor is raised, the battle moves in favor of the young man Joshua. But as these hands are heavy and these hands fall, then Amalek prevails. And when these hands are raised, then Joshua prevails. And the battle rages. And we see in this passage the importance of the praying people of God. And I want to say to you today, dear saint of God, it may not be your lot to be in the front line. It might not be your lot to be in the front line of testimony life and movement. But I want to tell you this, that those who are in the front line, and those who are in the public eye, and those who are serving the Lord, are so dependent upon the fellowship of the people of God in their prayers. And you pray for those people who are in the battles and battling for God against Amalek, against the forces of the flesh. Amalek, of course, most of us will know, is a type of the flesh. And here we understand that Joshua discomfited Amalek in the valley of Rephidim. And of course, God places on record this wonderful event and notes that there will be war with Amalek from generation to generation. And the New Testament parallel to that is this, that the flesh warreth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And that will ever be, dear saint of God, until we're taken home to the glory, and our bodies are changed completely, and made like unto the body of his own glory. But in this battle we see that Joshua is a man with power over Amalek, with power over the flesh. And I'm asking you, we know how very strong the enemy of the flesh really is. The great man Paul says, I know that is in me, dwelleth, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, was the language of such a man as the great Apostle Paul. For he too knew something of conflict with the flesh. And perhaps tonight you know something too of that kind of warfare. But the young men who are going to rise to be leaders for the people of God, you'll have to be a young man like Joshua, with power over Amalek and power over the flesh. As you come over to chapter 32, you discover this young man has power of discernment. He has power to detect faults. But it's a very interesting passage that in Exodus chapter 32, indeed it is. Moses has been on the mountain top and has received the law at the hands of God. And while Moses is up there in the presence of God, it would appear to me that Joshua is with him. For there they are in the mountain with God when Moses speaks with God, and when with the finger of God's hand the tablets of the law are written. And Moses is carrying these tablets down the mountain, these tables of stone upon which were written the commandments of the Lord. While the man of God was away, you remember, the people harassed Aaron, saying, what has become of this man Moses? For he had been 40 days away. And of course you remember the story so well of the calf, the golden calf that was made. And you remember the music and the dancing that took place in the camp. And as Moses came down from the camp, it is Joshua that says this, there is the noise of war in the camp. I thought that was interesting. It was Joshua that noted that. It is not the voice of them that cry for mastery. Oh no. It is the voice of singing that I hear. And so it's interesting that this young man had power to detect that in the voices that sang, there really was war in the camp. What had happened, you know very well what had happened. These people are singing unto strange gods, unto the golden calf, and claimed, of course, that this calf had delivered them out of Egypt's bondage. But here's a young man, and he discerns from the kind of music, he discerned that things were wrong in the camp. And I'm wondering, dear saint of God, in this day, you know, I must confess this, there are strange music played among the saints of God in these days. Strange music. Young folks can go around with their transistors these days, and they're playing on all kinds of music. Young folks in fellowship. And I tell you this, to me it only detects, as we discern, there is something wrong in the town. Why, the kind of songs we ought to be occupied with are redemption songs. The kind of singing that the saints of God ought to sing are the songs of Zion, the songs of deliverance, the songs of the blood, and the songs of the Savior, and the songs of the glory. And Joshua detected, because he heard the wrong kind of music, Joshua detected that matters in the assembly, in the camp, were out of tune with God. And I ask you today, young folks in the meeting, what kind of music takes up your time and talent and attention? There are strange strains of music coming across these days. But Joshua, because of course he is interested in the well-being of the people, he is interested in the promotion of a man like Moses. He's interested too that the tables of stone and God's law should be instituted to the people. But he hears the sad detections of a noise, a strange noise, that has come from the camp. And as they arrive there, we remember that the man called Aaron, the priestly man, harassed by the people, had poured this molten metal, and of course Aaron's excuses weak. It came out like this, he said. But of course, the point we're making tonight in Joshua is that he had power of discerning when things were wrong among the saints, by the kind of music that he heard. In Exodus chapter 33, there's another little record of this man Joshua. And of course, it's interesting that while every man stands at the tent door, Moses again is on the mountain with God. And Joshua, you remember, Moses returns to the camp, and Joshua stays still in the tent. It's interesting that Joshua stays in the presence of God there. And I thought really, brother, that he's staying to pray for the man moving out of the presence of God, going out to the people of God. And I'm wondering when you last prayed for the leaders in the assembly. Young men, when did you last consider to pray for the leaders, and when did you last support them by your prayerful presence? When did you last accompany them into the presence of the Lord? You see, we do believe that the young and old should go on together. And we really do believe that the elders ought to lead. Of course they should. But we also equally believe that young men ought to pray for those who lead them and guide them. And those who have a ministry for God's people ought to be supported and sustained. And Joshua, this young man Joshua, he was a praying young man. He had passion for prayer as he prayed for the man called Moses in that particular context. We've seen him as a young man with power over the flesh. We've seen him with a young man having powers to detect faults. We've seen him now as a young man in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, with a passion for prayer. Do we think we can go on through life without praying? And do you not feel, dear saint of God, and I'm speaking particularly to younger folks, do you not feel tonight, young men, that the elders in your assembly need to be prayed for, and more prayed for, in this particular day and age? Well, take a lesson from Joshua. Joshua was a young man that prayed for the elders and prayed for Moses. I thought in the record that we read of Numbers chapter 11 and verse number 29 that Joshua was a young man with power over pride. In that, it's interesting when these two men come in to the camp. And of course, it's interesting indeed that Joshua has said to Moses, "Moses, my Lord Moses, forbid them." And of course, Eldad and Medad, they were, of course, the Spirit had rested upon them and they prophesied. And of course, this was unusual. Unusual circumstances had developed, and the young man, Joshua, is disturbed as the messenger comes running into the camp to say that Mildad and Eldad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua says, "My Lord Moses, forbid them." But I like the gracious words that come from this great leader, the man called Moses. Would to God that all of the Lord's people were prophets. And of course, it's interesting as he sees, as he listens to Moses. That was a chide, you know, to Joshua. That was a little word of rebuke to this young man. And Moses really rebuked this young man, Joshua, because of his spirit that day. Really, he ought to have carried the spirit of his master Moses. But no, he carried this wrong kind of spirit in relation to the people of God, and in particular to the two men that prophesied. Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets. And I think there he's a young man able to take rebuke, able to take correction, able for the hand of Moses and the word of Moses to adjust his spirit so that he might learn that the man who leads the people of God must be a tender man, interested in the well-being of God's great people. And he chides Joshua here. But there's one thing I noted in the passage, that there's no word of argument from Joshua, no word of complaint, no backbiting word, but he gently, willingly, as a younger man, receives correction from the elder, from the leader, Moses. And I'm asking the younger folks again today, are you the kind of person that can be corrected? For I tell you this, that you'll never ever lead God's people unless you know something of submission to the correction of the overseers or the leaders in your company. When the overseer chides you and when he pulls the reins that we were speaking about in the reading the other day and puts his hand upon your shoulder and says, "Now listen, this is the way, walk ye in it." Don't resist, but humbly submit. Learn the right spirit to speak to the people of God and learn indeed to take correction and learn to submit to your own pride. Power over pride, his own pride, Joshua had, and that's evident that day. "Enviest thou for my sake," says Moses. And really the man was thinking about the man called Moses, but Moses chided him, and he was a young man, a young person, that could take correction. Is that the kind of person you are? We find as we move around, you know, these days, that young folks really don't want to be corrected. And they take correction very, very much to heart. Sometimes, of course, the correction's given in the wrong manner too. I can understand that. But when correction is given like the man called Moses, humbly submit, for in but a few years' time, Moses will be buried in a mountain, and the responsibility that Moses had will be transferred to you. So learn to live with the elders in the meeting, with the leaders and shepherds among the flock. Learn to submit to their word. Learn to stamp down that proud young heart and mind of yours. And learn to submit, because one day soon, perhaps sooner than you think, you'll need to take on responsibility to lead the people of God. And so therefore you need to learn to have power over pride. There is a verse, I didn't turn to it, but it's found in Numbers 13. And of course that's a story of the spies and the story of the report of the land. And you know the false story that came back by these 10 men. And you know, of course, the story that Caleb and Joshua brought back. And of course he has power of faith in this particular chapter. For while others saw giants and high walls and great cities, Joshua saw God. Joshua's eye was fixed upon the greatness and the majesty and the power and the might of the Lord of hosts. The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And Joshua knew perfectly well that they could go up and take that land, despite the obstacles, and despite the giants. Others were weakened because they saw these things, but Joshua and Caleb together saw God. And he's a young man of faith. Faith in that he can bring a true report. He's a true young man. And he's a man of faith, for he knows his God, and in believing faith has a power and an urge to go in to possess the land and to overcome the enemies in the field. And I wonder, in young men today, the lands before us, you know, go in and possess it. The land of the book, this blessed book that we hold in our hands here, how often have you sought to take this land? How often have you read this Bible this week, let me ask you, this day? How many times and hours are you spending in the land of provision that God has given? A land flowing with milk and honey can be taken, can be enjoyed, can be enjoyed, but only in the measure in which you will overcome the obstacles of the giants and the high walls and the cities. For time you cannot get, and time you'll never get. Time has to be taken, and something else must go and must suffer if you're going in to possess the land that God has given us. What an inheritance he's given us, not only in the book, but in the assembly. What an inheritance he has given us in the things of God, in the heavenly places. For the heavenlies are the counterpart in the New Testament to the land that flows with milk and honey, the land of Canaan in the old. And dear saint of God, and young folks in particular, you can overcome like Joshua and have this power of faith and go in and possess the land and take your eyes off the obstacles and set your eye upon a God that is able to overcome and subdue every enemy of his cause. And of course, when you come then, you discover that he's a young man in the power of the Spirit. Take ye Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand on him. A young man who with power over the flesh, A young man with power to detect faults. A young man with a passion for prayer, particularly for the elders. A young man with power over pride. A young man with power of faith to overcome the obstacles, having faith in that great God. And a young man moving in the power of the Spirit. Young men, let me say to you today, you have tremendous potential for God. In this vast continent in which we find ourselves now, we see the need of potential for God. We see the need for young men to be raised, for men to be men of the book and men of their God, that they might be a blessing to others in testimony, and that they might be willing to take on responsibility as others move on and as others move home, and the weight of succeeding office and responsibility falls upon your shoulder, for that day will surely come. I'm asking you tonight, are you preparing? Are you really going in for the things of God with a view to leading and shepherding and tending the people of God? I tell you this, when you look around the people of God and see them in all their variety of need, and see them in all their variety of charm, and look at the people of God, I tell you this, that the people of God are well worth serving. And our great God is well worth serving. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself, well worth serving. Go in for these things, dear folks, that we might be a blessing to others, and that we might be willing to take up responsibility in our day. May God bless his work.